Horsing Around Schedule Release Edition. We've known the Who on the Broncos schedule for the last few months, and actually 14 of them we've known for years, really. Now we know the when. And as I bring in Andy Lindahl, my co-conspirator on this here podcast, last year you and I had many discussions about the schedule, how the games played out, the 4 road games in 5-week swing, the 3 consecutive road game swing at midseason. You complained long and loud about those aspects of the 2017 schedule. So now that you've seen the 2018 schedule, Andy, I don't think you have much to complain about, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. What do you think?
First off, I think you had a few objections to the schedule as well, Mr. Mason. But yeah,
yes, I did.
I did my fair share of whining last year.
You said it was unfair. You know, that's the thing, but you had to play the games as they were.
I felt it was justified, my whining. I'll put it to you this way. This is a better schedule than they've had the last 2 years. Now, what's funny, you and I have been involved in trying to answer people's questions. What do you think? How do they finish? Da-da-da-da-da. It's a tough question, and here's why. And you get it. I think a lot of people probably get it, but what's different about predicting what's going to happen with this schedule, and I heard you and Ryan try to do your best in Orange and Blue 760 Thursday night after it was released. In the last couple years, take 2016, for example. We knew the Broncos were going to be a team that lived off its defense. And even before that, when you had Peyton Manning as quarterback, you know, you were able to look at the schedule and you started thinking, well, where's 10 wins? Because if Peyton Manning, you're getting 10 wins. Well, this year, I think it's a more favorable schedule than they've had in quite a while, just as far as home, road, the breakups, the not a lot of excessive road trips. It certainly isn't 3 in a row. For example, to point out complaints about last year that don't show up this year, there's an early Thursday night game. Last year, it was late. There's a Week 10 bye. Last year, it was an early bye. So none of that exists. There's no 3 straight road trips in the middle of the year like they had going from L.A. to Kansas City to Philadelphia. And, oh, by the way, one was a Monday night followed by an 11 o'clock game. So all those things work out. As far as predicting the success, Andrew, I just can't. I don't know that I can look at any one game on the schedule and say, you should for sure win that one, because let's take Seattle, for example. I don't know who the opening day starters are going to be as far as the running back, depending on what they do in the draft. I'm not positive, although I'm pretty sure I know who the quarterback is, but I'm not positive. And frankly, I don't know what the Seahawks are going to look like on defense either. So even though it's a much better schedule that I think will be much easier on the Broncos, I can't tell you I know what kind of record this will produce for the team.
It's interesting you mentioned Seattle, and yeah, I can't say that's a sure thing win. And in fact, we were talking about this on Friday morning, myself and Ryan Edwards and Steve Atwater on Orange and Blue 760, and I looked at the schedule and I said, you know, there's only one game I'm putting in Sharpie for a win, to use the parlance of college basketball analyst Seth Davis on CBS, and that's the Browns. But even then, I'm going to say, look, that's in Week 15. You don't know how the teams are going to look then. I mean, the Browns could have a breakthrough. You don't know. That being said, I still feel good saying that's a win. That's one you should expect to win. But beyond that, Andy, I think every game is winnable, but every game is losable as well.
Yeah, and it's just tough to tell when you don't know. You know, you and I will be able to answer these questions much more in the podcast that follow the draft, mm-hmm. right? Because if Saquon Barkley ends up being your running back, I'll say this. If Saquon Barkley and Case Keenum are the combo that's going to be leading this offense, well, I got a pretty good feeling they'll at least be in the playoffs, okay? I don't know if they win the division. Maybe they're just a wild card. But I got a pretty good idea that you're probably going to win some games with those guys, with what you have offensively the rest of the way, plus whoever maybe you add in there. But let's say you draft a rookie quarterback. Well, how much debate are we having over who's the starter? And by that, I mean at 5, of course. You know, maybe you get a Mason Rudolph somewhere else. Maybe they trade down. There's a million scenarios where I don't think that factors in anymore. But as I know it right now, as we record this podcast, the Broncos are picking 5th. And if 5 goes to a Bradley Chubb, if 5 goes to a Quentin Nelson, if 5 goes to a Baker Mayfield or a Sam Darnold, which I think are the two quarterbacks you and I like. Well, I just don't know. All that affects how I think the team does immediately. And another QB controversy, whether the team wants it or not, is going to affect how I feel about how they do. And if you take a Josh Rosen, a Sam Darnold, you know, a Josh Allen to me, I don't think is ready to provide such a challenge as maybe some of the other quarterbacks are. But the bottom line is if the fifth pick goes to a quarterback, I don't know if the playoffs are really in the future for this team. But if it's Nelson, Chubb, Barkley, I think I feel a lot better that it's going to be a playoff team.
I would actually say even if the pick is a quarterback, that doesn't help you in 2018. The playoffs might be in the future for this team, in part because, look, you expect an improvement because of Case Keenum. Even if he plays just at league average, that's a quantum leap over where you were from the quarterback position last year. The other thing, we take a look at the Broncos' schedule and how it is arranged. You don't have three consecutive road games like you had last year. It's a bit front-loaded in terms of the home schedule, four in the first six games. Last year it was four in the first five. But then on the backside of that, you don't have the long stretches of road games. It's broken up pretty well. And you also look at who the Broncos are playing on the road this year. Take the AFC North, for example. Pittsburgh, top of the class, by far in that division, I think. And they're coming to Denver. Your road games are at Baltimore and at Cincinnati. They can be dicey, but those are games that you have the potential to win. And then take the NFC West, for example. Top of the class, the Rams, I think, without question right now. But the Rams come to Denver. Then Seattle, they're an unknown quantity. They come to Denver. Your road games are at Arizona, which I think they'll go as far as Sam Bradford's knees allow them to go. And if he's having the troubles he's had in recent years, they're looking to me like a 6-10 team that gets a lot of David Johnson and not much else. And then the 49ers, I expect that Jimmy Garoppolo will do well, but that's still a roster that's got a lot of holes. If you were kind of saying, okay, I want these games at home, I want these other opponents on the road, I think it balanced out nicely with what the Broncos got. And that's the sort of thing that matters, especially if you look at the AFC West. The Raiders have a brutal close to the season. The Chiefs have a terrifying opening six games where they go at the Chargers, at the Steelers, the 49ers at home, at the Broncos on Monday Night Football, Jaguars at home, at New England. And you're doing that with a new quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, whose only career start was that meaningless game at the end of the regular season last year. And then the Chargers at midseason have a four-game stretch. There's a bye in the middle of it, but it's four games all away from Los Angeles. They go more than a month without playing a game in L.A. because they have a game at Cleveland, and then they go to London, they have a bye, and then two more road games before they come back home to face the Broncos, who will be coming off their bye. And the other thing, Andy, is that the Broncos don't have to face anybody coming off of a bye this year. So there are some things that broke the Broncos' way on how the schedule played out, that if this is a tight division and the teams are compressed in the middle, and I could see that happening, Andy. I could see everybody in the division being between 7-9 and 9-7. If that takes place, these little differences in the schedule might be enough to where you are talking about the Broncos as a playoff team, maybe even stealing the division.
Yeah, you won't get resistance from me there.
And I'm a realist. I'm not really an optimist, but I can see a path to a division title here.
Hey, like I said, I could see you having a major turnaround with the right draft falling your way, which you may have some control over, you may not. But the reality also is, let's just say if you lose a Case Keenum, you know, and you didn't draft the guy at quarterback, who knows what happens then? There's a lot of things that I still want sorted out before I tell you how confident I am. But to your point, as far as the breaks you need to not have a grueling grind of a schedule, yes, it is certainly there. And it's one that you have to be happy about if you're a Bronco fan. It's one that I am happy about as a Bronco fan. But we'll see. You know, there's just still a lot ahead, Andrew, and I'm just, I am so ready. I've never been so ready for a draft in my life, in some ways, because for them picking fifth, I have never seen a draft, I don't think. And maybe there's been other ones that have been this way, but you tell me. I've never seen so much uncertainty and rumor and change of direction on who it could be 1 through 5 in my life. So I'm ready for this draft to happen so we can start plugging in the players that will actually play this schedule. And I'm ready to get some camps going because, you know, we had Manish Mehta on, and 3 weeks ago, Manish Mehta out of New York, writes for the New York Daily News, covers the Jets, also is on ESPN. He told us that, A, not only have the Jets switched from falling in love with Josh Rosen, that was a quick summer love affair, they now seem ready to commit to Baker Mayfield, and that's the guy that they're going to draft. And he also, or I should say, I guess it's Todd McShay yesterday, he claimed to have knowledge that the Giants are going to go ahead and they're going to take Saquon Barkley. But according to Mehta, he thinks they're going to still take a quarterback, especially if all of a sudden Josh Allen's number one, Darnold's going to be there. He thinks they'd take Darnold. That would put Mayfield at 3. All of a sudden, the Broncos are picking from a pretty good player. But then John always says what he says at the pre-draft presser, which you had Orange and Blue on Orange and Blue 760 yesterday. Everybody thinks that the Broncos are going to trade down, which I'm just not a fan of. Andrew, it's going to be a nutty, nutty, nutty time a week from when we're recording this podcast coming up next Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to address, first of all, the notion of trading down. Personally, I'm not a fan of that either because I do think the quality drops off.
I agree.
Around 8 to 10 in terms of the type of player you're getting and how he can affect your franchise. The other thing, John Elway talked about this on Thursday. He said, look, you go into our draft room and the guys in that room don't all have the quarterback stacked the same way. There isn't a consensus yet. And I think that is being played out in draft rooms across the league right now. That you have 3, 4, 5 people or more involved in the decision-making and evaluation process, and they may all have 3 or 4 or 5 different sets of rankings of those 4 quarterbacks. I don't think this is strictly endemic to the Broncos. I think this is something we're seeing in a lot of places. And that is leading to some of the misinformation and rumor and whatnot, that maybe there are other teams that, like the Broncos, aren't yet sure in what direction they're going to go, and they're going to react to how things transpire and whether it's a deal up or deal down, whether the offer is palatable.
Well, and I want to throw this in as a little note. And, you know, it's the reality of what it is. When people ask me, because you and I see it, we've got one texter in particular who just, and he's an educated texter. What I appreciate about this person is, and I don't know his name, he never really attaches his name. I think he did it one time. I believe it was Rich, but I could be wrong. I do know it's a male that's texting us, so I'll say he. He's very educated as far as the point system and the draft point system and what the picks are worth. So he's not just throwing hideous or ridiculous trade scenarios at us. He throws legitimate trade scenarios with the points to back it up and so on and so forth. And every day, he'll give me 4 or 5 different scenarios that could lead to the Broncos trading. And in particular, he wants us to trade with Buffalo and then trade up from 12 and throw in some other pick and jump back to 8 and all this kind of stuff. But the bottom line for me is this. When it comes to trading down, to me, do you want a Garrett Bowles or a Paxton Lynch or pick whoever, Sylvester Williams or Shane Ray, or do you want Von Miller? And to me, that's the difference of what you're getting. I don't need Shane Ray and Garrett Bowles necessarily, though both are very good players. Both are starters. Both are very good forces for your franchise. If I can have another Von Miller, I want the Von Miller. And that's why I don't want to trade out of 5. And Andrew, if this run on quarterbacks happens, that's what you're going to get. You're going to be able to get a Von Miller type because, as many have told us, the best 3 players in the draft are not quarterbacks. So one of them is going to fall to you if the board falls or you get all those quarterbacks taken up high.
Who do you like best there if it's not a quarterback at 5 then?
Well, it depends on who's there. So I guess I'll just go this way. Even though I don't think it's the order of rank that you're ranking the player, I would have a hell of a war room fight between Chubb and Nelson, or Chubb and Barkley. But I would go in this order. I would go with Barkley, even though I know this is a very deep running back class, and I know you've said that yourself.
And John Elway said it on Thursday as well.
He did. Yep. He did. So I'm not knocking that that's the case. But you know what? Give me the best of the bunch. Give me the best of the bunch, please. But
what are you turning down? That's the thing. I compared it to, say, Jacksonville with Leonard Fournette last year at number four. Okay, he was productive. That's great. But if you'd gone running back in round three, you could have had Kareem Hunt. Alvin Kamara went off the board just before the Jaguars picked in round three. So the Jaguars get Leonard Fournette and Dwan Smoot out of Illinois. If they go, say, defensive end in round one and then running back in round three, they could be looking right now at Derek Barnett and Kareem Hunt. Which combo is better?
Well, look, I know that you are a fan of taking the later round running backs, and I get it. And sure, we'd all like to have a Kareem Hunt. But you and I also know, once upon a time, the Broncos very much wanted to draft Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. He didn't make it to their pick. They wanted to draft David DeCastro. He didn't make it to their pick. So just because you like a number of guys doesn't mean the – matter of fact, Andrew, remember, you and I think we're on the air draft night last year saying if Alvin Kamara gets to this Denver pick when they were three or four out, he's going to be the guy. Saints snatched him up before he could be a Denver Bronco pick.
And isn't that why you should always consider trading up, whether you're talking about going from 5 to 2? If there's a quarterback you're committed on, or to use the parlance of Ernie Accorsi, if you have a conviction on him. But you can also make that same statement with the 40th pick. And if there's a guy you want that you don't know can be there at 40, do you sacrifice a later pick to move up then? Maybe that's something the Broncos need to think about, not just at 5, but also at 40, at 71, if they watch how things are going, to make sure they get a guy that they have a high priority on.
I agree with you 100%. Now, we also know you have to have a dance partner.
Yes.
And someone has to be willing to let you take their guy. But my point, Andrew, is I understand how everybody feels about the running backs. I do. But if you love Saquon Barkley, then just take him. Just take him. You know what? If you love Quentin Nelson, just take him.
Even at 5.
If you love Bradley Chubb, just take him at 5. Take any of them. You know why? Because any of these guys are allegedly going to be the long-term solution. Now, when it comes to Chubb and it comes to Nelson, you could be getting longer careers out of those guys, which is why if you want to weight them heavier than Barkley, fine with me. But to me, don't talk yourself out of a good pick or even a great pick simply because it's a deep draft here, it's a deep draft there. Now, I do believe the Browns are going to take one of those three that we're talking about, so you're only going to be deciding between two. But I just say you take the guy and you live with it and you go from there. Now, would I love to see him trade back into the first round? You bet. You bet.
Fifth-year option.
You just laid out.
Always love seeing that.
Yeah, and you have a high enough second-round pick to do it this year, right? Mm-hmm. You've got a high enough second-round pick. You got a couple extra picks in the fourth and fifth round that you can maybe play around with to get up there if you need to. So I'd love to see you make some bold moves. But I hate the idea. I'm just going to put it on record because I had some guy accusing me of being stupid, and I'm confused what you're saying. So I'm going to make it out. I'm going to just let it be clear. I want to see them stay at 5, and I want them to see them pick a great player. I don't want to go back to 12 and 22. And the only way I'm considering the two picks that the Patriots have is if Gronkowski's attached to them too. And you probably got to throw a couple, you know, one other thing in there. But I, you know what, Andrew, I don't know if it drives you nuts, but I am sick of getting the text that said, hey, pick up first two round picks and, go pick two first round picks up. This is how fiery I get. I'm screwing my words up. Go pick up, you know, the two first round picks this year and da da. Well, guess what? There's only two teams that can give you two 2018 first-round picks. It's Buffalo and it's New England. So if you don't like where those picks are, quit throwing the scenario at me. And frankly, I don't want to go down to 12. Because if you go down to 12, you don't know what's going to be there. You just don't. And you don't know who jumps in front of you. It's too many slots. So to me, stay tight. Take a great player at 5. Go have your fun later on in the draft. And to your point, Andrew, if you love a quarterback, and I'm not saying I love any of them enough to make the trade up to two. I don't. But if they do, go up to two. Don't play around with this stuff. Go up to two. Go get in front of the Jets. Don't be left with just one guy left that you have to pick.
Well, you know I love one of them enough to do that if I was the GM.
Well, and you're going to need to from what it sounds like. It yes. sounds like the Jets have your boo on their mind.
And for those who haven't been following, that's Baker Mayfield is the guy that I like. And, yeah, I would be willing to make that trade in part because then a year from now, maybe you're talking about trading the surplus and being able to get a first-rounder back. Very similar to how the Eagles signed Sam Bradford in 2016, and then within a couple of months, they drafted Carson Wentz. They traded Bradford in the preseason. I think it's a deal you could also make a year from now, but if Case Keenum proves he's a franchise quarterback, you can trade the guy you picked high. And if you think, okay, the franchise guy is going to be the guy we picked at number five or moved up to get at number, or pardon me, moved up to get at number two, then you can potentially get that first round pick back because you're expecting Case Keenum to have a good season. That is what you signed him for. I'll go back to the idea of moving up from 40. If you go by the draft value chart, Andy, it would roughly be equivalent to the 99th pick in the draft that the Broncos have there at the end of the third round, the compensatory pick. That would allow you to go from 40 to 31. So if there's a player that's fallen that you like, or just someone you say that you got to have. I mean, let's say, for example, you want to upgrade tight end.
See, Mike Gesicki. Our mock draft. Yeah. I had us trading up for Gesicki.
Yep. You coach Mike Gesicki at the Senior Bowl. From the question I asked him and the response he gave, he clearly loves Jeep Christ in particular, the Broncos tight ends coach. Just was raving about him and what he learned and how much better he got that week because he was around Jeep Christ. You saw him, you saw the progress he made, you know what kind of athlete he is. To me, that's the kind of call that I would like to see made if a Gesicki is there at 31. Don't wait, just move up and get the guy. Remember, if you sacrifice your second, third round pick, it's not the most ideal situation, but you have a couple of picks in the fourth round, one at 113, not too far back. So you're still in that range with plenty of options.
Yeah, it's definitely something I wouldn't mind seeing. If you don't get the running back at five, which is a real possibility, and you go back into the first round or close, you know, just move up to get the first choice of the second round backs. Maybe it's the kid out of San Diego State, Penny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with anything you want to try this year because I think more than in years past, you need to hit a few splashes in the draft, and they need to be able to come in and help your offense. It's just the reality of the situation. The free agent class wasn't sexy this year. Didn't have a lot to offer. I think the Broncos have made some great strides making trades instead of signing what I would term stupid free agent contracts. I'm sorry. As much as I was intrigued by Eric Ebron, I'm not giving that guy $16 million when he hasn't panned out at all for the team that he just left in Detroit.
I think
and that's
Mike,
the contract he got.
To use the Mike Gesicki example, I think Gesicki could be better than Ebron this year. Used
right.
properly, he could have an Evan Engram-like season, which would put him ahead of Ebron.
Intrigued. And obviously you're intrigued by what Jake Butt can do. Everybody thinks we're writing off Jake Butt.
We're not.
We need two.
Yes, you need two tight ends. And in fact, the options that this offense has, if it has two tight ends, they're limitless. And go back to 2012, for example. Remember, the base package of 2012 was two tight ends.
Well, look, I think there's going to be characteristics of the Gary Kubiak offense in the Bill Musgrave offense. And you and I both know that both Gary Kubiak, even more so than Mike Shanahan, was a fan of three and sometimes four tight ends, especially inside the red zone.
And he'll get two of them on the field. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, just wants some matchup problems. So I'm a big fan of you making some impact with the draft. You're going to need to make some impact with the draft, which brings me to this. Why do you think the Broncos chose now instead of after the draft to release C.J. Anderson? What's your gut feel tell you about that? Because I've been asked, I've got my own theory that I'll bounce off you, but I'm curious yours.
I think maybe a little bit of a favor to C.J. Anderson. Now, you could have done it earlier, but evaluating the landscape, evaluating the running backs, but you get him out there before the draft, you give him a little more, bit more time to start exploring his options and catch on. I thought that had something to do with it. Remember this, that Broncos traded Aqib Talib to a destination that he wanted to go to. But a trade with a destination that a player might want does not always work out. But the Broncos, by releasing C.J. Anderson, give him a chance to go someplace he would love to go, rather than simply saying, okay, we're trading you, you're going here. Good luck. I think it was doing him a little bit of a favor.
Well, and that very well could be it, and that makes a lot of sense to me. I also think for those asking, and you know, Tyler kept asking me, why today? Why the first? Because he was released before their very first meeting, it sounds like, on Monday. Mm-hmm. They got together for a team. And to me, Vance Joseph talked about changing the culture. And I don't think there's anything wrong if you just say, this just isn't my guy. We know CJ and Studisville were close. Studisville was released as a coach. The culture change comment was made. I just think there's a little bit of that tie there, too, that had something to do with it. Plus, let's be honest. I mean, it's a running back. Nobody wants a first-round running back because they say you can find him in the draft later on. Well, then why are you trading for one either? So I just think it's a tough trade to make. But, you know, I just think CJ, it just feels to me like CJ and the folks here, they just weren't on the same page anymore for whatever reason. And, you know, that doesn't make CJ a bad guy. And that doesn't make the Broncos a bad team for wanting to move on from. You know, CJ is always going to be a fantastic story as an undrafted kid that made it in the league, had a 1,000-yard season and is wearing a Super Bowl ring. And frankly, if you're a Bronco fan, I hope you always remember what he contributed to that Super Bowl run.
I think they will.
He and Ronnie Hillman just found enough to grind it out and make the run game effective so that they could close those games out. Can I throw another crazy thing off you before we get too tight on time?
Go for it.
Because Tyler just can't wrap his mind around this. And even though I still wouldn't recommend doing it, I think a guy like yourself who appreciates draft strategy, and by the way, we may need to have you in our war room next Thursday, so that's just an open invitation on the podcast.
I'm down.
We're going to have you, Ryan, myself, and Tyler all arguing the case for certain players to a man that's very high-ranking at iHeart that's going to be our John Elway. We wanted John, but you know John's got some things to do Thursday. So, anyway, there's a report allegedly that Tyler read that the Browns may legitimately consider with 1 and 4 drafting 2 quarterbacks, if for no other reason, to be able to trade the second one because the time ran out on the clock. Now, this may sound like an asinine, we chuckle, only the Browns idea, and really for the most part, I kind of feel that way, you know, in some part. But if you really think about it, if the Browns were to grab, say, let's make those two guys, Allen and Rosen, and maybe Rosen is the one you spin off during the draft to someone who's not getting the thing to fall their way, or maybe you even take it a little longer, and again, Troy Aikman was drafted in the first round with the first pick, and they still took Steve Walsh in the supplemental draft, and ultimately the Cowboys spun off Steve Walsh. I realize the Browns are a team with many needs, but with none of us really being completely sure outside of you and Baker Mayfield, but most of the football world not really sure who the franchise guy is in this class, if there even is one, is it really the dumbest thing to take a couple of those guys to hedge your bets or even just have one sitting around as a trade chip?
No, because the Dallas Cowboys, when Jimmy Johnson took over in 1989, did something very similar. They picked Troy Aikman #1 overall. They get to the supplemental draft that summer, and they pick Steve Walsh, which cost them their first-round pick in the following year. But then, a year later, they flip Walsh to the Saints for a 1 and a 2 and a 3. Aikman had proven himself to be the guy, but that suggestion the Browns take 2 quarterbacks, it is not without merit. It is not the craziest thing I've heard. And let me say this if you're the Broncos. Let's say, hypothetically, that you really like Josh Rosen. And let's say he's there at 4 and the Browns did that. Now, it would be interesting because if you look at the difference from the 4th pick to the 5th pick on the draft value chart, it's 100 points. And the Broncos have the 99th overall pick at 104. But maybe if you've decided this is the guy and you have to have him, maybe you kind of put a premium on it and say, well, okay, instead of giving you the 99th pick, we'll give you the 71st pick, 235 points. Just like that.
Boom. Well, see, I think, how do you also feel about this? And I know we got to kind of wrap it up, but I don't know that we'll have a chance to discuss this again before we do our next podcast. Tyler and I were talking this morning, and I feel like, especially if you go to two, but even if you make that trade that you just talked about there, it certainly seems like a commitment to a guy, more of a commitment than maybe you gave Case Keenum. Do you immediately go into trade mode, like you said, or are you waiting out the year to see how Case does?
I think you're waiting out the year. I think Case Keenum is going to play this season. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback. And I think you've got enough veterans in that locker room to where you owe it to them to play the better option right now, the more experienced option right now. And the other thing is, I don't think it harms the quarterback to sit that first year. I mean, it's a little bit more of an old-school notion, but it helped out many quarterbacks over the course of their careers to kind of sit and learn. Let's say it's Josh Allen, for example, who probably isn't ready to start in year one. If you draft Josh Allen, do you not treat him maybe like Steve McNair was treated by the then Houston/Tennessee Oilers early in his career, when they started him for a couple of games at the end of each season when the team was eliminated, but that allowed him to get up to speed. And then in 1997, he had a few starts. He'd seen some stuff on the field, but he was allowed to kind of grow into a more of a pro-style quarterback. And then he steps in 1997, he's ready to lead, and there was no drop-off.
I'm fine with that. Because to your point, I think if you do draft Josh Allen, then he's going to take the length of Keenum's contract to fully be ready if the scouts are to be believed.
That's a reason why maybe you consider Josh Allen more than other teams might, because you have this option of developing him deliberately behind a Case Keenum.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I just was curious, Andrew, because I do think the shopping for Case Keenum maybe is being listened to, but not if you have Josh Allen. I agree with you there. If you have Darnold, if you have Rosen, if you have Mayfield, though, and especially if you trade up to two to get one of those guys, I'd start listening to offers, though I certainly understand what you had to say about just it's Case's job for a year, and we'll see how it shakes out next year.
Hey, I want to see Case Keenum start this year, and part of it is I want this team to get back on solid ground as soon as possible. It may not be a playoff season, but get back to a level of respectability. And look, an 8-8 season, for example, it's not what you want, but it's not a losing season. And I'll say this, I want the Broncos to make sure that their streak of years without back-to-back losing seasons continues. Of course, they have not had consecutive losing seasons since 1971 and 1972. This franchise has shown a resilience over generations of ensuring that a bad season is localized and contained, kind of like a fire. It's contained in that one bad year. And I think Case Keenum is here to make sure that continues, whether the Broncos draft a quarterback at 5 or move up for one or not. Case Keenum is here to make sure that 2018 allows the Broncos to get back on their feet and make sure that last year was not the start of what could be a very bad trend.
I agree. And we talked about it during the losing streak last year and why you don't tank. You don't want to do that to your culture.
Yeah, you don't want to kill the culture that has been built and nurtured. Really, go back to the days of John Ralston. It's more than just John Elway and Peyton Manning. It goes back further than that, as you know. It's the Red Miller years. It's John Ralston upgrading the talent. It's bigger than anybody with the Broncos, and that's one of the things that is on the line this season.
Well, my friend, next time we do a podcast, I think we're going to have a draft pick. I guess it depends on what day we do it next week, but I can't wait. I cannot wait to at least see how the first round plays out.
Me either, and we'll have plenty to talk about. We'll be on KOA 850. We'll also be on Orange and Blue 760. Wall-to-wall coverage throughout the draft. I'm going to be involved. Andy's going to be involved. Tyler Palumbus, Ryan Edwards, Steve Atwater will be popping on. He's actually announcing the second round pick for the Broncos, but Atwater's also going to be down in Dallas. He's going to be checking in with us. Matt McChesney, Ray Crockett, Mark Stout, Brandon Kristol, the entire cast, and of course, Dave Logan and Rick Lewis on KOA will have stuff for you. We're all involved. We're all going to bring it to you. Mike Rice is going to be along with it as well. You know him from Broncos React after every game. So join us. If you can't be in front of a television, or even if you're in front of a television, turn down the sound and listen to Broncos-centric draft coverage on KOA and Orange and Blue 760. And of course, the Orange and Blue 760 stream, it's not only on the iHeart app, it's also on DenverBroncos.com. Plenty of ways to follow the draft. Andy, thanks as always. We'll do this again in a few days. Also, thanks to Regis Tucker and Mike Wolf for setting this up, because I did this in the booth and Andy is out on the phone, as you can tell. For all of them, I'm Andrew Mason. This has been the Horsing Around Podcast. We'll talk to you again next time.